Hey, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you all of the praise and all of the honor. If Warren or Brother Ken is in our hearing distance right now, we ask that you give them strength. Both of them had serious operations this week, and we just lift them up to you, Lord, and but pray for their healing, as well as others who are in the hospitals with them and all over, period. And there may be others that are sick, too, within the congregation. So we lift them up to you. Lord, we also were excited to see the church in various Bible studies this week, as well as going out into the community, that prayer in the park that takes place. And some of our members get a chance to meet people who are not in the church and to share Jesus with and to share about their church. And so, Lord, we just ask that you pray, give some confidence to those efforts, and bless Pastor Stefan and Deacon Brenda and Heidi and Luke and some of the others who go out and are part of that work, because you do bless what we do. If we can't get out, we ought to at least encourage those who can go. And Lord, we just lift them up. And I lift up my wife to you this morning. I know that she is resting and she needs her rest. And so keep her in your prayers too, as well as myself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe in giving exams. Now, don't get a frown on your face yet. Not just because I'm in the academic world too, but I do believe that people do better when they know they're going to be tested. Is that, would you say that'd be correct? If I didn't think I'd be tested, then I don't put in as much effort. I'm not saying that I don't put in any effort, but if I know I'm going to be evaluated, I'm going to do my best. Because there's something within me that wants to get that good grade. How many of you want an A? Okay, that's about two of you in here. The rest of you are saying you settle for a C, huh? Oh, maybe. Anyway, when I first started teaching Joe, I gave multiple choice exams. As we see, if there's multiple choice, just write down the answer and fill in. Those are the only kind of exams that I knew to give. And then I learned that there are other types of exams that will help me to understand where a person is better. Comprehension, application, essays, analysis, evaluation. And when I learned that there were different ways of evaluating people, I tried to, I don't know how good we were at it, but we tried to develop in my former church, an evaluation-driven culture, where if you were doing ministry at all, you were evaluated. So I got evaluated at the church. I don't, have you ever evaluated your pastor? No? Oh, you did? Oh, okay. I tell you what, we do better when we know folk expect better from us, and we know what to expect. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about life's hardest tests. Life's hardest tests. And we're going to be coming from Genesis 22, 1 through 14. That should be a 14 there, not a 4. Excuse me on that. 1 through 14. If you remember, last week, we were in Genesis 21. For those of you that were not here, we talked about Abraham and Sarah, his wife, and Hagar, who was his girlfriend, so to speak. And I guess the only way I could best put it, they weren't married, but she did have a child with him. So that got real dicey in here. Yeah, that's right, Maria. It was a mess in here. It was a mess there. But, you know, sometimes the Bible presents us a messy picture so that we can see how God works it out. And he worked it out. And I think that we all were better by understanding, oh, okay, this is what God requires of me in such a situation. Well, I think that God wants us to know what's on his test. You know, I think I became a better professor, Deacon Brenda, when I started giving my students what was on the test. I actually sometimes would give them the test and say, go study it. And stayed still flunk. No, they didn't. Most of the time they did better because they knew what was on the test. I think God wants us to know where he's going to test us. And this is not just for me and not just for you, but it's for anybody that is desirous of a relationship with God. It says in Genesis 22:1, sometime later. So when is the sometime later? This is sometime after he had broke the relationship with him and Hagar and Ishmael. I would think from what I'm seeing here is that his son Isaac, who is not a little boy anymore, he's still a young man, young boy, maybe a preteen, at most a young teen. It doesn't exactly say what it is, but he's big enough to carry stuff and to carry heavy stuff. So the sometime later would be probably a couple of years. God did what? He tested Abraham, just like he will test you. And he will continue to test us, not just to make life miserable for us, but to help us to do better. And he said to him, Abraham. And Abraham immediately mentions, he says, here am I. He replied. In other words, I'm ready for the test. How many are ready for your test? You may not want the test, but I'm ready for it. Because really, this is how he moves us along, isn't it? When we pass one area, then he'll give us another area in order to master that. Is that how he does with you? That's what he's done with me. I am so glad that he didn't put me at Living Hope, my first church. Oh, I was a terrible preacher. I was a terrible teacher. Yeah. But you see, I've studied. And because of the work I was willing to put in and God then adding, I'm better. Am I making sense to you? So what did Abraham say? Everybody say in here, here I am. Some of you didn't say it so well here. Lord, I don't. Here I am. Here I am, he replied. Four tests. I'm not saying that these tests are exhaustive. But what I am saying is I think that all of us are tested in these areas. Four of them. The first one, I'll be tested on whatever I love more than God. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what culture. I don't care what race. I don't care if you're male or if you're female, if you're young or if you're old. You want a relationship with Jesus. How many of you want a relationship with Jesus? It's everybody in here. You're going to be tested on who do you love more. You see, unlike knowledge, We can learn something new. How many of you can fly a jet plane? Nobody in here. So if you was to, but you probably could learn how to fly one. It's like anybody else. You may not want to, but you have the ability to learn. People do learn how to do that. Well, God's saying, this is the first step to everything else, is that I want to be first in your life. I'm not telling you something you don't know already. You already know that. But I want you to know that I will test you on that. I'll test you in ways that are very, very practical. He does probably in this first verse right here, something no parent, you know, I look back at your kids, Nick, and your kids, Noel, and your kids, Asamu and Kleani, your kids, Heidi, Dr. Chris. When what he asked of Abraham, could we do it? Then God said, remember, Abraham said, here I am. Okay, then God said, let's start the test. He says, take your son, your only son. Now remember, at this point, he has two sons. He's got Isaac and he's got Ishmael. Ishmael is out of the picture, so perhaps it should be interpreted, is your only son here? The son of the promise. Now he's going to have other children after Sarah passes because he's going to marry again. He lives to be 175 years old. And so he's got a lot of kids. Yeah, that's right. And so he says, I want you to take your son, Isaac, whom you what? You love. You know, who you adore. You know, the one that you've been looking for, that's coming out of yours and Sarah's loins. This is the one that I had promised you even before this child was born. As a matter of fact, if we go back to chapter 12, God says, I'm going to make you like the stars in the sky. You're going to have that kind of lineage. You won't even be able to count. And Abraham hadn't seen it until Isaac. And now God is saying, here's your big test. You got to go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there, sacrifice Isaac there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. I'm not even going to tell you where you're going, but I'm going to tell you what you're going to do when you get there. You're going to take that young man that you love so much, that you've been wanting all these years, you're going to take them and you're going to destroy them. Now, I want to put a disclaimer on this, because for some people, their interpretation of God's word is that I have to do everything that God says. That I see in the Bible. God didn't tell you to do that. Are you with me? And he's not going to tell you to kill your kid. And as your intermediate pastor, I want you to know that I won't come down and pray for you if you do. You kill little Maria, I'm going to wish they give you 100 years. That's right, because I've grown to love Maria and Pedro and Joe and Nat and Avonlea and Jeremiah and Luke. I've grown to love these little guys. And so I'm going to stand up for them. Don't you tell me the Lord told you. Now you may feel like that sometime. And you know, you deal with that. They may get on your nerves to the point where you want to take their life, but don't do it. Not in the name of God. Are you with me? The God we serve did do this. I believe that the Bible is true. somebody were to ask you, did God really say that? Did he really tell Abraham? I have to say yes. But I don't think I know he's not telling you to do that. So don't you come up with an interpretation of going out and I've been just waiting on a word to go and take little Bobby Jean's life. No, that's not going to be correct. And you'll probably spend the rest of your days in jail. But this is what God's test is for Abraham. It's a hard test, isn't it? It's a hard test. You wouldn't even want to think about it. As old as our children are, and as much as sometime they have gotten on my nerves, I don't want to see them dead. I don't want to see anything even like that happen. But this is the test. I can't sweeten it. I can't make it any lighter than what it is. Go and take your child's life as a sacrifice to me. You know, Mike would say, Lord, can I give you my dog? Can I give you my parakeet? No, I want your child. In Exodus, it says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. I cannot say to you how important it is to understand the pecking order of love with your family, with everything else in your life, that God makes it very plain. When you come here to worship, I don't want you to fall in love with Dr. Gainey. I don't want you to fall in love with the music that Sister Carla presents. I don't want you to fall in love with the sweet fellowship if it's going to take my place. Are you with me? And I've seen it. Have you ever seen it before? Some people who love church, but they don't love Jesus. Some people who love the preaching, but they don't love Jesus. Some individuals who love everything about what we do, the fellowship, but they don't love Jesus. What does that mean? To put God first. What does that mean to love God? Well, Jesus says it like this when he was asked, what are the greatest commandments in all the world? He said, oh, that's easy. Love God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is to love your brothers and sisters, but the first is to love God. When you come to worship, you're not focused on what you look like or what's going on around you. But when you come to worship, there's only one individual in this whole place that makes any difference. And that is Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? You see, I'm not preaching for you. I'm preaching to you, but I'm not preaching for you. I am preaching for the Lord God Almighty. Why? Because preaching matters. People change their life because of preaching. But I don't want you to fall in love with the preaching. I especially don't want you to fall in love with the preacher. I don't want you to fall in love with God. Because God tells us the truth. Can I get a witness here? And I want that. I want that. I've mentioned to you many times, I love Cheryl. She's online probably right now, so I got to make sure I say that real good. I love you. Most of you know me. I brag on Cheryl all the time. as my woman. But she'd make a poor God. And I would make a poor God. And we're at the age now where we really have to understand that one day I'm going to leave her or she's going to leave me. And I sure don't want her to be moping around here. Now, if she marries somebody else, I'm going to come back and haunt her. No, I'm just, I don't want her moping around, you know, about, I can't make it without him. I can't go. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can make it because you have what? You've got Jesus. And when you have Jesus, you can withstand anything because his love surpasses all understanding. Am I wrong about it? So, your first test, I can't take your test. You can't take my test. But you can ask yourself, what do I focus on more? What's the most important thing to me? Be careful of your answer. Because your life will tell, your life will say what you love. I used to talk, you want to find out what a person loves? Let them show them your checkbook. Because your checkbook, well, people don't use checkbooks hardly that much anymore. But your checkbook will say what is most valuable to you. When you love God, you're going to spend that time focusing. That's why we come to worship, because we're focused not on me, not on somebody, but we're focused on God. Hopefully the preaching gets you to focus on who? On Jesus. That's what we're preaching about. Hopefully the music will get you to what? To focus on Jesus. So this is a focus, but we're a focus group, aren't we? I know what they're going to be doing in my focus group this week. They're going to be focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you imagine coming to the church service and we were not focused on Jesus? What would be the purpose in staying here? I don't have, matter of fact, Pastor Nick, I drive 80 miles round trip to get here. I want to hear about Jesus. I want to hear about the lover of my soul. I want to hear about the one who can make doors where there are no doors and windows where there are no windows and who teaches me how to live a moral and ethical life that is right. I'm not making it up as I go along. I want to hear about Jesus so I can go and practice. But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Number two. So the first one is, I'll be tested on what? Who do I love more? 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 The second is, I'll be tested on my willingness to leave stuff behind. To leave stuff behind. To leave stuff behind. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. My assumption is that these two servants were probably carrying the stuff, the wood, and maybe some provisions, because this is about a three-day journey to them. And the donkey is probably carrying some stuff. I don't know, maybe sleeping type things, maybe even riding one or two of them somewhere. But it's stuff, you know. Naked I came into this world. And naked I go out, which means that most of everything I've gotten here is stuff. I didn't come here with it. Nobody was born with it. You may have accumulated it, But at some point, we have to make a decision, who's Lord over my stuff? And I have to be willing to separate myself from it. That's kind of hard, isn't it? How many of you have ever cleaned, how many of you cleaned out your garage? Raise your hand. Okay, about five of you. How many of you, it seems like the stuff just keeps creeping back in? And I mean, it take you about a day or two, maybe longer, a week to clean it out. But then after a while, you keep, my sister, she keeps more paper stuff than I've ever seen in my life. I said, Sugar, do you know what all that paper stuff is? She's even got, you know, those rental places where you put your furniture and stuff. She has those kind of places where she's paying money every week to keep her paperwork. I said, but what about like bills and stuff? She said, they're all in there. I said, okay, I can understand why things are in a tough situation for you. You got to do what? You got to clean out that stuff so that you can, you know. She answers me. She said, but the paper monster just keeps on following me. You may understand that. I don't know how that is. You give me a bill, I'm going to take care of it that week. It's just the paper monster. No. I have to make a decision. What's going to be more important to me? My stuff? Because some people have more stuff than others. And some of your stuff is very valuable. I understand that. But God says, I don't want your stuff to be more valuable than I am. On the third day, 3 days, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in a distance. So they're traveling and they got all this stuff. Just to give you a picture, I don't know if you can see my map, but Beersheba is where basically they lived in that area. Now you have to remember they're nomads and they moved around at this point, but that was the primary area. It was given them by King Abimelech to, because there was a well there. And they're going up to this area right here, which is Moriah. So this is a three day walk. And they've got all this stuff. And he gets to the bottom of it. And he says to his servants, okay, I want you guys to stay here with the donkey. I want you stuffs to stay with that stuff while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, which is what we came out here to do, this sacrifice and worship. And then we will come back to you. There are many people, Esther, you're teaching this morning, you mentioned that Abraham eludes something here. Remember, God told him to do what? To go and sacrifice his son. But we see a little hint there at the bottom sentence. He says, we will worship and then what? We will. We will. Somebody say, we will. We will. In other words, this won't be the end. We're coming back. Isaac and I, we're just going up there together. We don't want you to come. We don't want the servants to come because you might try to stop me from doing what God's will is for my life. And so you stay here. You see, that's the problem with stuff. Sometimes stuff gets in the way of you doing what God wants you to do. Can I get a witness? I can't part with this. I can't let this go. I can't part with these people. I can't part with these folk here who I've got to have my homeboys and my homegirls. And God says, let them go. You stay here. I can't tell you the number of times in my journey, Pastor, where I had to say, thank you for the relationship. Thank you for the times, but I gotta go. Oh, you just think you're too good. Oh, you just think you got all of that together. You just think you're better than us. No, it's not that I think I'm better than anybody, but you see, God says, that I can't stay here. God says, I can't remain here. God says, I can't hold on to this and still do his will at the same time. You know, in a sense, we're all missionary. That's right. In a sense, when you say, I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you are signing up to be a missionary. And if you look at the life of a missionary, they have to be ready to do what? To go. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering. And what did he do? He placed it on his son Isaac. He couldn't have been a little boy then. Not real little. And he himself carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them went off together. I've been tested on my stuff. And I would lie to you if I said to you, I wanted some stuff because somebody else had some stuff. I wanted a car like that because somebody else I admired had a car like. I wanted a house like that because I always lived in the projects growing up. Am I making sense to you? And God says, I don't care what it is. I don't care how much it costs you. Don't you know I have 1,000 cattle? I mean, 1,000 hills with all of the cattle on them. I don't want you to put your stuff before me. And he'll test you on that. And it makes sense, doesn't it? That the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. My attitude has gotten a lot better about that as I've gotten older, but I think I would have done a lot better with it when I was younger if I had realized that God sometimes just gives you stuff for a season. In other words, it fits for where you are. But where I'm sending you, that big old house is not going to do you good. You're going to need to live in something that looks a little bit more like the folk that I'm sending you to. Can I get a witness? Matthew 19:29 says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother, isn't that something? Or wife or what? Or children or fields, all of your stuff. Whoever has left their stuff for my sake will receive what? What? 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Hook up with me. And I promise you, not 1%, not a 2% investment plus, but I promise you 100 times more. Let me tell you what I believe that 100 times more. It means more than I can think or imagine. Young people, do you hear me? It's real easy when you're young to fall in love with your stuff because you didn't pay for it. Can I get a witness? You know, usually most of the stuff you've accumulated is because your mom and daddy have bought it for you. And you might say, that's mine. But you really haven't learned the lesson of my really isn't until you start paying for your stuff. And then that, God says, I want you to know that whatever you have, it has come from me. Do you love the gift or do you love the gift giver? Number three, how are we doing? Okay. 4 questions on the quiz. I'll be tested on trusting God for my provisions. Now, provision is different than stuff. Provisions are things that I need. Might even be some things, too, that I want. Could be to help other people as I'm going along. It might even be that I don't have the need right now, but I've got the need in retirement. And so, but God will test me on trusting God. Not if, in fact, I'm going to not need it, because you're going to need it. If it's a provision, you're going to need it. But who are you trusting for it? Am I making sense to you? All right. Isaac spoke up. I was wondering when Isaac was going to say something, you know, because you kind of figure like this. He's just going along. And he, you know, I'm a little bit older. Pedro would be a little bit older. And some of your kids are a little bit older. But at some point, Daddy, this don't seem right exactly. You know, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And I bet he was smiling. You know, because I've seen you do this many times before. I've seen you sacrifice many times before. And it's worked out well. But I noticed something is missing, and that is the offering. And Abraham looks at him and says, well, you the offering. Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went off together. Usually when we think about money, I really need your attention on this one. Usually when we think about money, we think about that paying for provisions. Are you with me? In other words, if I need a house, then I need a certain amount of money as a down payment for the house. I need a car, I need a certain amount of down payment for the car. And what I hear God saying here is, I want you to skip the money. I want you to start putting your focus on me, because you're looking at me improving your paycheck when I'm able to tell the fish in the sea to come where you are and take care of your needs. I need for you to realize that I already knew where you were going to be. I already knew what provisions were going to be needed for you to do the work for me that needed to be done. I don't want you to focus on the money. I want you to focus on, everybody say it, me. Money is probably the biggest competitor of anything else in our life for being an idol. Because with money, you can buy a lot of things. You can do a lot of things. But it doesn't mean that you're doing what God wants you to do. Am I making sense to you? Hey, thank you, Dr. G, because my prayers are no longer going to be about having more money. But Lord, you know what my needs are. Lord, you know what my wants are. Lord, you know what my long-term desires are. And Lord, I believe in advance, in the name of Jesus, you said that I'll pour you out. How many of you have ever experienced God pouring you out? I don't know where it came from. I don't know how it got here. But I do know this, that God is a pouring God. Can I get a witness? I thank you for that. He's a pouring God. In other words, you can't beat God giving, no matter how you try. You know, I want to challenge Living Hope Baptist Church. And the reason why I want to challenge you in this area is because every church I've ever pastored, you know, people say, all right, I want you to tithe. And that I would love for you to tithe. Matter of fact, I'd love for you to give more than a tithe. I'd love for you to give 50%. You know, you have that to give. I'd love for you to give it. But I'd love for you to do this for 1 month And especially if you don't give anything, there's always that one person that doesn't give anything. And I'm not coming down on you because I don't know who you are. I don't know. I know it's not me. We, Cheryl and I, give a little better than a tithe of what you give us. We give it right back. I'm just simply saying there's always somebody that fails the test here. Y'all hear me? There's always somebody who fails the test here. And the test is, do you love the provisions? Do you love what God is giving you more than you love God? Because God has promised something. I will supply all your needs. Not some, not a few, but I will supply all of your needs if you are in Christ Jesus. Now test me. Try me. And see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out of it. I just need for you to try me. I say to Living Hope Church, let's do it. Take this month and say, Lord, I know I've been inconsistent. And again, I don't know what you give here. I'm just simply saying, try it. And see if I can't bring up my test scores here. You might say to yourself, but I can't give a tithe because I'm too much in debt or whatever. Well, can you give a penny? How many of you, if you were broke as you could be, remember we preached a sermon on broke the other week. How many of you could give a penny? Okay, about three of you. Well, hey, pick your game up and say, Lord, this is yours right here. I can't give less than a penny because a penny is the smallest that we have in denominations of money. But if I am consistent with that penny, I want to stand here and tell you without any reservation, God will bless your socks off. If you earnestly believe this amounts to your love for what God means to you, He will bless that penny like He blesses $100. Can I get a witness? The question is, will I try it? Will I try it? You see, nothing from nothing leaves what? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. But God says, you put something in and you find out something, I will provide for you in ways that you cannot think or imagine. Am I preaching? Philippians 4:19, King James Version says, but my God, hey, I'm in relationship with Jesus Christ. My God shall supply some of my needs. I missed that assignment. It didn't say some of my needs. It said all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ. See, what that means just is if I am in Jesus, He gonna take care of me. Can I get a witness? Is it true? He gonna take care of me. Skip the middleman. I'm not worried. Lord, I'm not even worried about the money. I'm with the little job that I have, I'm gonna give it all to you on that. And I believe you with all of my heart that you will pour me out a blessing that I don't have room enough to receive, because there are witnesses right here today who will testify. You don't have to have a gazillion dollars. All you need to do is be faithful. And you'll pass the test. Pass the test. Last one. I'll be tested on walking by faith and not by sight. When they reached, just a little reading right here, so hang in here with me. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it, and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Now, this is an obedient young man right here. You know, he's really obedient. I'd have had to jump off that. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I don't know if I had it. You know, y'all pray for me that I would grow some more, that I would climb up on the altar and say, okay, he is. So that lets me know I got some growing to do. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. He replied, I'm not cheating on the test. I'm not looking at anybody else's paper. I'm just doing what God said in terms of the instruction. Do not. The instructions have changed. You ever had God to change up on you in the middle of you thinking one thing and he says, no, I want you to go another. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God. That means that you respect me. You put me first because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. What how that ram, that goat just got there? He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Just happened to be there. Anybody ever experienced that where something just happened to be there? You know, God is, he's showing up. I can't understand it. There's no need of you trying to figure it out. But a lot of times it just works like that, where God just does it. He just puts you at the right place, at the right time, with the right things, and he just does it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to come to an answer. Just say, thank you, Jesus, that you have provided once again for me. And I am going to walk by faith. Let me tell you where the problem is with faith, is that people think faith is a verb, and faith is not a verb. Faith is a noun. A noun is a what? Person, place, or thing. Jesus is the person. I put my belief in Jesus. I have confidence in Jesus. It's an investment, isn't it? I put my trust in Jesus. I put my belief in this understanding of who God is to me. Walking by faith versus walking by sight means that I walk by my own five senses. And it doesn't mean that you don't use your senses, your sight, your hearing, your smelling, your tasting. It just simply means that there's something that I put over that. And that is God's word. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? And so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Got a test. I bet you somebody came in here today with one of these principles you're being tested on. And I'm saying to you, God's word is true. What is it? In Mark 6:50, I'm going to show you simply here and then I'll be through, that our understanding, our misunderstanding causes us to just want to seek answers. And the thing of it is that sometimes you can't get an answer for what God is doing. You remember the time when God calmed down the storm and climbed on the boat? It says, because they all saw him and were terrified, he was walking on water. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. In other words, they were flabbergasted, for they had not understood about the loaves. Let me tell you what. They were in a situation where the storm has been cleared, and their minds are aware on the thing that God did before with the loaves and the fishes. You can't figure God out. You can't figure God out. You don't know what God is going to do next. You don't know what God has in store for you next. The only thing you can do is what? Trust and obey, because there's no other way than to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it. I'm going to pass the test. It's not, you notice there's not an S on the end of T on the test there. It's just a test. It's parts, but it's one test. What is it? Come on, say it with me. I'll be tested on whatever I love more than God. I'll be tested on my willingness to leave stuff behind. I'll be tested on trusting God for my provision. You know, can you hear the songs come back to you? I'll trust in God. I know He'll make a way. We sing it all the time. But do you believe it? I'll be tested on walking by faith and not in my flesh. Will God make a way? Life's hardest test. Hey, guess what? Hint. The answer to the hardest question on the test. Look at somebody and tell them the answer is. Go ahead and tell them. It's Jesus. Before the test. Remember, we gave it out ahead of time. The answer is Jesus. Matter of fact, we just got through singing. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Before Him, there's no other. Teach us how to pray. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Before Him there's no other. Come on, say it with me. Jesus is the way. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask our ministers of music to come. We're going to ask our counselors if they would come. And I want you to think for a moment. Where is Jesus in the pecking order for you in terms of what you love? You always can evaluate it by looking at what you focus on the most. What do you think about the most? What do you spend time doing the most? Because that's all worship really is. Worship is not just in this building. This is practice. Worship is your falling down, bowing down before Him. You are the lover of my life. God will supply. Got to get rid of some stuff. Can I get a witness? Gonna start today. Got to get rid of some people. I got the wrong people. You know, if I'm going to make my goal, I can't go there with some folk, because some of those folk, they'll try to stop me. They'll try to get in the way. And so I got to leave them and go on towards my goal. My God will provide. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I walk by faith. Won't you come?